Continue to the next part of the Mishnah. Ezu hu oshi. The Mishnah has a very strange question to ask. Who's an oshi? And for some reason, the obvious answer, Rockefeller, wasn't accepted. Ezu oshi, asameh v'chalkoi. Because this time they only have two words to deal with. So they have only two problems for the pasuk. Three problems, right? We want to know what samech means, we want to know what chalkoi means, and we want to know why samech and chalkoi is an asha. Beyond that, I think everything else is pretty clear.
It's an easy mission if we do that.
Right, but then there's this thing with the pasuk. Shenema. Now the pasuk is supposed to be telling us that Shenema is supposed to be telling us that Sameach v'Chalkoi is an osher. Shenema, Yigi kepecha kisarcha, Asherecha v'toiv lo. Asherecha v'olam hazeh, v'toiv lo v'olam habo. There may be some other problems also, but the most difficult problem that is that it doesn't seem to be terribly successful. I missed it. I didn't see it. It's supposed to tell me that Sameach v'Chalkoi is an osher. I didn't see anything about an osher. I didn't really say very much about a Sameach v'Chalkoi either. Yigi kepecha kisoicha. Godol. And then we give us kapo of the Moses and Brochus. Yisim yeh shemayim. Shenema, yigi a kavecha kuselche la shecha v'toifloch. This posuk. Yeah, all right, that limon I hear. We have to understand that posuk, but at least it's talking about the subject of what you're trying to learn. Where's the Oshir? Where's the Sameach v'Chalkoi? If you're telling me that it's, for example, there are... there are those who go the derech, a full-time levirat Torah, and have support by money given by others. This pasuk, Sadek Mor says in Brochus, the Moral explains it, others explain it, tell us, the Rambam paskens that way, that's a big b'di'evid mitzad echad. L'chatchila, better there would be a tzad that a person should be able to have some means of self-support and they shouldn't have to come out to others. We're not dealing with that subject now. I don't want to go into it. Bechlal, famous Kesef Mishnah deals with the subject and others. We're not going into the subject of the lechatchilas and b'di'evitz of the causal system. What's lechatchila, what's a yoshua, and it's all true. There is a mahalach like that, that's lechatchila. There's a mahalach like that, that's b'di'evit. There's a mahalach like that, that's a yoshua. They're all true. Depends on what level it is and what approach it is. That's not our subject right now. Our subject right now is supposed to be a Sameach v'Chalkoi, is a osha. And we have the problem that the pasuk is talking about that other subject. But the subject we are talking about, I didn't get it. There are attempts that are made in the Mefarshim, which we have some difficulty with. Let's start. Problem? Not clear. The problem is that the Mishnah is supposed to be telling us what an Osher is, right? And an Osher is a Sameach v'Chalkoi. The Pasuk is supposed to be relating to us this concept that a Sameach v'Chalkoi is an Osher. The problem is, I didn't see that he's talking about an Osher.
In the Pasuk.
Yeah, who says the Pasuk is describing what an Osher is? A person makes an honest wage, that's a very nice mahalach. Great. What does that got to do with Shirus? That's a nice way to live. Fine. But very important piece of information. It's more brachas about it. But what does it got to do with our Mishnah? The Mishnah is telling us, Ezu Osher, not Rockefeller, but Asunech B'chalchei Shenema. Where does it say in the Pesuk? So there's an easy way out, which I don't want to accept, and I'll tell you why. What's the easy way out? The easy way out is as follows. There are two approaches, what an Osher can be. One approach is an Osher is something that you measure in numbers. Go to the bank, see how many zeros there are, and then what's in front of the zero, plus sign or negative sign. But and that's it's measured by the pluses and the minuses, so by the zeros and by the numbers. Right? And that would be the normal way of approach. Therefore, Rockefeller would be a pretty good example of an Osher. Maybe there are others, better ones, doesn't matter. And we can approach, it's clear, true, that the Mishnah is telling us, that numbers is not enough. A person can have very big numbers and be very poor. Or a person can have much lower numbers and be rich. Because rich is not going to be dependent, the most primary factor on numbers. But it's going to be, let's throw out this for a possibility, that it's Ashirus is measured by Simcha. You're as rich as you are happy. If that would be what the Mishnah is telling us, and it maybe we'll get there, but behold, that's a simple approach. So the two choices, without explaining why Simcha is Ashirus, but just structurally, let's get it first, okay? Ashirus is money, Ashirus is happiness. Right. And the Mishnah is supposed to be telling us, so, Ezu Osher, not money, numbers, but Sameach, happiness. Okay, if that would be the case, then there are those who want to say that we can then see that the Pasuk is approaching this issue. Yigia kolpecha kisaychal asherecha l'toyim. That this Mishnah, that this Pasuk is coming to indicate to us that Yigia Kapayim, which can mean manual work, which is usually not the best paying job, can bring you to Oisha, can bring you to Toivlo, Choylem Azeh, Choylem Aboh. So that's the good thing. So if the question was, what's the good thing? Is the good thing money or the good thing happiness? And here, look, this will bring you a good thing. So the Pasuk is telling you that you can have the good thing even if you don't have a lot of money. Because you get a kapecha kisaycha. So you can get the good thing. But I'm afraid I can't accept that. That won't be sufficient. So that'd be great if the question was, Ezuhu, good thing. Right. But it wasn't. The question is, Ezuhu, osher. And who says that is an osher? Maybe he's an asherech of a toivloch person, and we'll have a different name for him. But who says his name is osher?
He's a
yigia. Yeah. So he's a yigia. He's a satisfied, well-earned bread. Great, fine. He's praiseworthy. I'll give him shlishi.
He's
what
happy
else?
He's happy on his work. Satisfied on his work.
I'll let him sit on the misery. What else do you want? Who says it's an usher?
Doesn't help.
We're not worried about usher.
Yeah. We're not worried about
usher. The horror makes him a sameach v'chelko.
What?
The first question is, does that make him a sameach v'chelko or not?
Oh, very good.
He's a gear. He's doing
but more. Who says there's a sameach v'chelko? Good. So that lachor that you could say, it says yigia kevecha kisoychal asherecha, is telling you a piece of information that a person who lives yigia kevecha kisoychal, right, will have asherecha b'olam hazeh, which seems to me that when he is going to be sameach v'chelko, he's not going to be sameach v'chelko. He's not going to be sameach b'chalal. He's going to kvetch about that he has less money than the boss. And he's not going to have a shrech b'odim hazeh. Check out what's happening by your neighbor. They'll tell you about it. Sometimes your neighbor is very, very close. Sometimes you can go very, So, yigia k'vecho k'v soichal. And another factor, sameach b'chalal, the boss didn't tell about, which is the subject that we're talking about. And then, the shrech b'toiv loch. Well, then take a question. That's it. If the factor that's koveya is sameach b'chalal, and yigia k'vecho v'soichal doesn't yet tell me sameach b'chalal. So we just have to say, yigia k'vecho v'soichal, who is the sameach b'chalal? Well, that's, of course, it's Ashrech. And if it's Ashrech, it's got to be sameach b'chalal. That's circular reasoning. That's, you know,
what would you do?
The proof that Yaakov Avinu wore yarmulke. Because it says, it's Yaakov would live without a yarmulke. So you see, it must be they wore yarmulke. If you make your assumption before you start, and then you see something that's based on that, then you say, well, then you see the assumption, well, then, yeah, for sure. That's called circular reasoning. You can't do that.
Doesn't Yigia mean that they're totally involved?
Yigia is a very interesting word. Well, we get to it also. But you want to find some Sameach B'chalal right there?
Yeah.
You want to find...
The fact that he's using all his kochos, he's completely mushrash in the work. Doing it honestly, doing it fully, that's his help. That's his chelik. He's doing it totally. It's all his kochos are in his work. That is simcha. Total expression of his kochos is in the word you give, maybe.
So, after we've have some indication of the difficulty of the Mishnah, so we'll go to the Ben Yehuda, who tells us to be miyayish and to accept it. That's the way it is. Ein mizeh posa graya ledvar samachil kachu shuvashi. Straight out, right between the eyes, you know, boom. You're looking for it, forget it, it's not there. Forget it.
We weren't at the level to be able to handle that.
Before we continue, we have a bit of a problem. So what is it doing here? Okay, at least we know that we aren't totally off track. We were learning pretty good. Like, you know, okay, Benjamin says, right, you got it. Okay. Aim is that possible grade of those in a calculation question. Then what isn't? Don't I'll read it. He wrote it. We can read it, right? Hello. Sha'odam u'usha b'midu ha'zois. Kesha'inu chofetz l'asoif momen v'soinu matomis. Higia kapa of oichal m'stapik boi. I don't know what's harder, the mission of the Benyan. Benyan is supposed to be making life easier. That's his job. He's a prima facie. And we can well assume that he did his job well. And Reikum, it's not his problem, it's our problem. If you don't understand it, then we have to try again.
Say it in English?
Yeah, they're all, that's a problem. To say it in English, you have to understand it. Because usually every translation, you never can, it's very difficult to translate words literally. You usually translate the idea that you think they're in the words. Right? If you're not sure what the words are saying, so the translation is going to be faulty. But let's try it anyway, okay? Elo. It's not bringing a riot in what is it doing. So I'm not sure where the answer is. But that's Elo has to be answering. Well, it's not the riot, but it is X. So that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for X. What is it? It's not a riot, then what is the posuk doing here? X. What's X? Elo. X. Sha'odo mu'usha b'mida hazois. A person is going to be fortunate, is going to be blessed. When he's not out to collect money and he hates presents. So what do? V'yagia kapav oichel u'mastapik bo. So his way of survival, since he's not out to get a lot of money, that's not a goal, and he doesn't want to take from others, so there's a solution. As yagia kapav, so he shouldn't have to get matonas, u'mastapik bo. Because he's not out to get a lot of money, that we said before. Kamoi is a familiar word to us. Kamoi means a motion. Kamoi means as. Is a motion. Marshal. Whenever we hear the word marshal, we know exactly what's coming. Kamoi asamer bechelka. She'ein yutzayni alif chetei chayus. So Ben Yon is telling us, you know what X is? X is a moshe. Just like a sameach v'chelka, she'en v'tzayin al k'vdei chayusai, that we're going to, Naz, I can't, not bringing you that point, I'm bringing you another point, which is a moshe for this point. I didn't prove your point. That point the Mishnah is saying. But the pasuk is she'enemar, not proving the point, but showing you a similar point. And from the second point that we see from the pasuk, we're going to understand the first point that the Mishnah is trying to teach us, the Sameach Kalkot better. So we got the structure. Is that, you know, first we have the map straight. Now all we have to do is understand. That's the hard part. But that's the map, right? So I read straight. Is that good? Translated all right? Okay. So now what does the Mishnah say? That's all we have to know. What exactly is it that the Mishnah says? Until now I had one problem. What does it mean, Eiz Washer Sameach V'Chelko? Now I have three problems. What does Eiz Washer Sameach V'Chelko mean? What is Yigia Kabechel V'Soichel V'Chulu? What is all that telling me? And what do I have from the two of them together? And that's all. It's usually quite simple. One, two, three, that's all. Okay. Tough.
He's in 90s, got about 30 of
them. This part of the mission is something that it's worth spending a little extra time on. For the reason that every generation has its insight. Every generation has, every country, every community, door to door with its sincereness, door to door with its problems. And every generation, you have everything. But there's usually extra emphasis in particular places, particular times, and certain problems. Let's take the war generation. This Mishnah wasn't their main problem. They had a lot of other problems to deal with. There are other. They had to deal with the sugi of Yisur. They had to deal with the sugi of Toichel. They had different problems to deal with. Every generation has its problems. We're all, like it or not, product of Western society, which battle flag, especially this thing called American capitalism, its battle flag is Ezu Sameach Bechelkoi Osher. And Osher means money in the bank. Let's get it straight. For Sameach Bechelkoi is an Osher. And in order to do that, any self-respecting budding usher knows that the last thing that you want to do is to get there on your own power. Because how much power does a person have? You have good hands, great hands, big muscles. Where's that going to get you? $8 an hour? Now it's up to $12 an hour. You're not going to get big bucks out of that. That's just not right. So there are two stages. Stage number one is you have to make money off of other people's work. And the stage two is, and you have to pay them with other people's money. Right? That's the basic two basic formulas of success. Right? That the other guy should work, and the third guy should pay for it, and you just have to organize this situation in a way. Right? Menahel, sit up, right? Big table, right? All the instruments. And the bottom line is, they work and you get the money. That's basically what success means. Now, it's true that this might be an ideal, and ideals are not so easy to come by, and you have to be willing to work hard to produce this type of success. But let's get our goals straight. That's what we're looking for. Right? There are a lot of ways to do it. You can do it in a business way, you can do it in a political way. There are a lot of different forms of how to enslave other people. Because one man power is limited. You can't get everything. You can't become a multi-millionaire based on one man power. So there's old rules of the jungle. Right? Either you eat him up or he's going to eat you up. And if you want to be an usher, if you're going to have him eat you up, you're not going to get there. So that's a good thing. You eat him up. Right. The more you swallow, the bigger you get. Taking five people, you're a five people person. You have 50 people working for you, you're a sa'a hamishi. You have 50,000 people working for you. Well, then even the President of the United States is going to answer the phone when you call. This is familiar, everybody knows this. Right? We went to nursery school, so we know this. This is what they teach us. And, so, clear, right? Ezu Osher, She'enu Nenenu Yigia Kapov, if at all possible. That's the last thing you'd want to do. Definitely the last thing you want. And if Nebach, there are people who just weren't gifted. They don't have the right father. The father didn't have money. He didn't go to the right school. He didn't pass. And they have to do the menial labor. There are some things that are so lowly that they've been totally removed from society. Who's the last shepherd you met?
What?
Shepherd. You know any of them? You heard of anybody who knows any of them?
Yeah.
Maybe not. Right? In Israel, you can maybe still find someone. Somebody who knows one of them. But that's only as much as they weren't part of. They weren't part of mainstream. But I don't know. Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, David HaMelech, Moshe Rabbeinu, were shepherds. Shepherd?
Not a shepherd, it's a shepherd being a gunner.
Shepherd. Everybody knows that. There are times that you need not just money. Sometimes you need power. Sometimes you need intelligence. Well, first thing is money, but when you need somebody that comes on as an intellect, right, a leader or something, so you need somebody to bring out, what do they call them nowadays? Anshe Ruach, right? Which translate roughly full of hot air. Right? Air people, nothing to them. So you go to the ivory tower. But let's stick to our mission. Ezu Osher. Ezu, how do you go? Ezu Samer Vichal Koy Osher. Misha, basic capitalist philosophy. Ezu Sameh Bechelka Yosher, Ezu Otsher, and then a Megia cap of the other person. That's the basic formula. The Mishnah, the Meiser, any way you turn it, is heading on a head-on collision directly to the heart and soul of American society. And is trying desperately to teach us the truth, the simple truth. And the simple truth is always the hardest thing to explain. It's a simple truth. The kind of thing that, not that, anything but that. Just the simple truth, no. That's unthinkable. So the Mishnah had to work a little harder here to clarify in two stages to us a totally different approach to the world. To understanding of what we're doing, what does it mean riches, and what does it mean success, and what does it mean happiness. So we have a pasuk, and the pasuk is clarifying to us the concept that Misha is trying to bring us out, that Osher is a Sameach B'chelko. Okay, let's see what we can do. See how much we can understand. Sure.
We weren't. Rabbi Akiva said in the last pair.
What? Definitely.
That's what I thought.
If you'll go back to the tape, you'll see that we mentioned a little bit of the concept of the Shechel Tovlach there. I believe. But let's try to go straight. Let's see if we can get the concept straight. We brought in the first time that we were learning this Mishnah, which was a little while ago, about Purim time, we started the Mishnah, and we brought the Chazal to explain that in fact there are two approaches to all the three qualities that depend, the first three qualities in the Mishnah, and you have two choices. Either all of these things are quality, the matonos that the Rishon gives, on the condition that he gives them. But if you grab them, and that's a chiddush, that you can grab them, well then that's very bad news. And the example of the usher that grabbed his yeshivas, one from the goyim or one from Klal Yisrael, from the goyim is homon, compliance always clear. These are the grabbers. This is the example of the wrong type of issues. You explained there been explaining throughout the Mishnah that there are two levels of truth. The Mishnah is not saying that Rockefeller is not an usher, but the Mishnah is clarifying to us a higher inner understanding of the world, which in those terms, Rockefeller is not an usher. There are two ways of approaching Olam Hazeh. We've seen this throughout the Mishnah, and here is the central place where the Mishnah spells it out. And it's very negate to us. We have to do a lot of uprooting of things that they put into our blood from the time we were born to try to get these concepts into our head. What's wrong with the American success idea? What's wrong? Where did they go wrong? It's not doing anything. We're not talking about cheating, illegal. It's using your brains and figure out how to make a business and get people to work for him and pay them whatever he pays them. And to get money from the bank, from this and from that, and people invest in stock markets and have these people work and they people pay for him, you get the profits. What's wrong with it? Well, that's what's wrong. That's part of it. Is that's it. So he has a personal problem. That's the disease. Good. Oiv kesev liyizba kesev. But if he had a way of getting off that. Right. But let's say he would have it. So the process itself is okay.
Part of the
problem. He's not doing it from the Matana side. He's doing it from the grip side. He's not doing what he was given by a Kodesh Baruch Hu to use. He's using the other guy's stuff.
That's the grip.
So Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't apportion that to him.
What I want to clarify, right, is that theoretically this could be good also. It could theoretically be good. Extremely difficult to do it right. Extremely difficult. We're not talking, there's nothing wrong with knowing how to activate qualities, powers, and people, and money from all kinds of places and bring out benefit from that. That's not the point. There are, workers unite, that menatzlim et ovdim, and when that's true, that's a different problem. If you weren't using your workers properly, if you were being menatzel, you weren't paying them a fair wage, you were overworking them, you weren't giving them their rights. That's legal problems. He's a thief. That's a different problem. And if you want to be a thief, there are probably better ways than opening a business. As far as that goes, there are worse ways to be a thief. You can be a bank manager, for example. There are a lot of ways to do it. There are a lot of ways to do it. In politics, there are a lot of ways you can get there. There's a lot of ways to be a thief. That's not the point. We're not talking about thieves here. That's not our subject. We're not people, bad people inside that they're ganovim. We're not talking about bad people because they're eating up people alive. That take advantage of them, enslaving them. That's not what we're talking about. That's not our subject. That's not an evil person. We're not talking about other problems that can happen in the process. When a person has his one mind, one tunnel vision, I must be Rockefeller, I have to get to the million. So whoever's in the way is going to have to get out of the way, one way or the other. So there are byproducts of this type of reasoning that can bring people to do evil things on many levels. Right. Unfair competition, destroying the other person's business, to worse levels of illegal activity. Take out your times. Any day, any week, I'm sure you'll find something about it. It goes on all the time. That is not the subject of the Mishnah. That may be proof of the Mishnah. Those are byproducts.
But it seems like the work of your hands.
What's the point?
So I think the point is that the work of your hands, we said in the first prat, is the acid test that you're using the metonet, what you were given from the Kodesh Baruch Hu, is that's the right amount.
Let's start from the beginning. It's about time, no? Let's start from the beginning.
It's too early.
Too early to start from the beginning. The beginning. The beginning starts with the old question is, what are we doing in this world? What are you here for? What are you living for? You're working to live, you're living to work, you know these questions. You're working to live, you live to work, you work to make a living.
Live to eat.
The Babylonians.
Where are you going? What's it all about? What are we here for? What are we doing? What are you doing? You have $1 million in the bank. Why are you working 18 hours a day? Why? What are you doing? Huh? Then you have the great grandchildren. The grandchildren taken care of, now working on the great grandchildren.
If somebody not working with their hands, has all these other people sitting back, there's an ingratitude that takes place, perhaps. It's very hard it's hard to appreciate the money. It's hard to value and appreciate how it was earned. It's certainly a little lack of gratitude with that possible. With your hands, there's a good feeling, there's a good relationship with the money that's made.
A very good point. We will look for the source of that point. I want to understand the essence of the issue. This is definitely a very basic byproduct of the proper approach. We're looking for to understand what the basic message of the Mishnah is. What's the essence of the idea? That I would see as a byproduct. It would be as a very important, very true fact that, like the Gemara will call that concept, is called in the Gemara Eitzah Odom Bekav Shaloi Matisha Kavon Shechaveiro. A person is talking in terms of producing fruit. The person grew his kav of tool in his backyard. He'd rather have that kav than much, much more that he bought in the store. He'll have more from it. Okay? He'll appreciate it more. He'll enjoy it. Fine. That's a very important point, and it relates directly. But let's see if we can get to the essence. Let's see if we can get down to what's it all about.
I think that when a person works with his own hands, there's a relationship between himself and Krishna. He realizes at all times that it is, and that's, I think that's one of the essence of being in this world. Of constantly the reminder that there's a Rishon in this world, and you are the controller, you are the controller. When you start to take people around you, you then become the controller of other controllers. In a sense, you make this up God.
Okay, we'll come another step closer. I think we're up to the point now. Let's crystallize it. Let's see if we can get the central point, and then we'll see all these different concepts that are going to come around it. The basic idea, all right? The basic idea is the Yisoid of Olam Hazeh. We've spoken about it many times here, we're going to have to do it again, right? Olam Hazeh. What is Olam Hazeh all about? Olam Hazeh has two basic possibilities, and you have to choose. You have to choose. Because it has totally different ramifications. Yeah. The basic approach, which we've seen throughout the different Mishnayos, all the different Golios, the different Goyim, the different study Hara, Kinei Taiva V'Kovei, they all have one central point. Tachlis of Olam Hazeh is me. Nekuda. At the day that Olam Hazeh stop serving my purpose, as far as I'm concerned, the whole world. Olam Hazeh, if a person sees Olam Hazeh as a self-contained tachlis, he must, by definition, if he's not a liar, it's very difficult for a Jew to do this, and that's why a very interesting thing happens to you. A Jew b'teva is so ingrained in the Rebbeinu Shalom. that a Jew cannot, the furthest one, the way he hasn't been in shul in Yom Kippur in 50 years, right? He can't, it just goes so much against, he can't really get into this Amaleki idea. He can't really get into this pure Edomite concept that Olam Hazeh is Tachlis. A Jew really can't do it, but we get confused. We can't get confused. On the surface levels, we can think like that. And if we check ourselves out, we can find out that we have quite a bit of... But let's take it step by step. It starts like this. We'll take a goy, because you really can't be a pure Olam Hazeh. You can't. It doesn't work. You can act it, and when he acts it, he can do it even worse than the goy. But he can't really be heart and heart in it, because it just goes against the whole nature of Rav Yitzchak and Yaakov. It just doesn't work. But Mr. Goy, Mr. Smith, right? He knows that the Tachlis is Olam Hazeh. That's it. That's what counts. Everything has its definition in Olam Hazeh. Agav, generally speaking, for those who take this to its full length, we have three qualities here. We had Oisha, Gvura, and Chochmah. A person who takes these concepts to its in totality will most clearly come to the conclusion that the best way is Oisha. If you're out to get Olam Hazeh neto, that's where you're starting, that's where you're ending. That's your picture of Tachlis. Then the best way to get what Olam Hazeh has to offer is Oisha. You need Chochmah Bayit. You need Chochmah. Buy it, hire them. You don't have to have it yourself. You have to work hard to get Chochmah. And that goes against the basic green. Buy it. Why do you have to earn it yourself? You have to work hard. Chochmah doesn't come easy. Also, Chochmah is difficult to enslave directly to Olam Hazeh. Chochmah, by its definition, is bigger than Olam Hazeh. Scientists, I once spoke to a big scientist, he's a physicist. He's good. But he spoke about the problem that he has is that the knowledge of the world seems to be bigger than the world. So, in what purpose is it? He has a problem. He says, besides practical application of science, besides trying to get money out of governments, he says, that's all baloney. 90% of what we do, right, it's not because of the practical applications. It's for the science, for science sake, for understanding the world. And the world is unbelievable. Every little atom, and it can spend 50 years explaining one atom. But you know how many atoms there are? So how long... Billion. I mean, I'm not going to finish an apple. So, like, there's something disproportionate here. Somebody wanted to write the letter A. So instead of taking a pencil and writing letter A or a piece of chalk, you know, simple. Okay, he spent 50 years developing, learning how to use and creating, and now watch. Comes out in A. Great, but I have a problem. Don't you think it's a little disproportionate? If all of that was to produce letter A, unbelievable machinery you got there. But for a letter A, my 3-year-old does it with a pencil. It didn't take him more than 6 minutes to learn, and it cost 20 agurot. A, you got it. And you know, that A says A just like your A does. So if there would be some Y person did it, so we ask, but why did the Bunch of me do it? Right? Why does the world have chokhmah that's unbelievably bigger than the world itself? In chokhmah, it's very, very difficult. It's much harder. You have to be a Bilam for that. Bilam was the one who took chokhmah and turned it into a mitzvah. That's very, very difficult. It's an extremely high level of rishis. Right? Most people nowadays are not on that level. The classical way of our generation of subjugating everything to tachlis terms, meaning whether it's there, the best way to do that is shears. There were generations that worked with the gvura, that worked with gibur, loiked ear. Okay. Nechama was very popular, it still is. But nowadays, if you'll check the papers, you'll see that the bottom line of all Nechamas is money. The main reason why you have wars is to support the ammunition factories.
I thought that's why we have peace.
It doesn't make a difference. Whatever, whichever way it'll work. The main thing is that they should produce more whatever. It's good for Kalkala. $1 million airplanes. $1 billion airplanes. Great, you know how many people worked on that airplane? It's great. Oisha is capitalism without any bushing. No bushing. Because so often says that we can run the world, succeed in the world, make the world a good place, bring goodness, happiness, wonderfulness, greatness, human, all the qualities in the world. By success. And success means the American dream. The American dream we described before. Ezu Osher. Ezu Somekhoi Osher. And Lachoyle Rey. Because if you make a list of what the world has to offer, Olam Hazeh is a big place. It's got a lot in it, right? How big? 24,000 miles around the hill, 1,000 miles. It goes from here to there. And how many different types of cake are there? A lot of different kinds of cakes. You say, but how many? Yeah. X. You know, and then it's the same thing in different, you know. And how many apples are there? How many ice creams are there? How many dresses are there? How many everythings are there? So let's like a list of things, right, that can be considered a success, that can be considered worth Olam Hazeh. You're going, Olam Hazeh is tachlis. Well, what tachlis what? The ultimate frustration of the world is because there really isn't what to buy. It really isn't. Because Olam Hazeh has a lot to offer, but it doesn't come out anywhere near. We won't talk about Rockefeller, just a regular old ordinary millionaire. Okay. My father did this with us when we were like kids, 8 years old. He says, make a list of everything you can think of that anybody you can think of could want. Okay. You would enjoy vacations in a car. How much is it going to cost? For a whole life. Tell me how much would it cost? A person who was really successful, you know, or they, you know, what are the ridiculous sums that some of these bank, you know, are head of their big companies? $300,000 a month. What can you spend $300,000 a month on? You can't. There isn't what. So as you're working your way up the ladder, you finished with the needle, right? You're out of the sweatshop, and you're up to the $10,000, and now you're up to buying cake. You weren't buying cake, now you're buying cake. Right? Then you're up to whatever, the $30,000, and now you're up to a car. Not just any old car, but a car, right? Then you're up to $100,000, and then and a car. He says, a mansion, any old mansion on Long Island, right? And you made it. 15 years of hard work, and you made up a lot, and you've succeeded. Great. Now you got money, right? And you have a car, and your wife has a car, and three kids have a car, if you have kids, and... And the dog has a car.
Cars have cars, though.
Car has a car. And you have a swimming pool, and you have, and you have, and you have, and you have, and that's it. You finish.
Impressive.
What do you do next? So, there are some people who don't wake up and declare. Just because you can't get off this, they will create new things to buy. Stamp collector. Judaica. Religious Jews. Remember the Jew that can't really get it? Judaica. Now, $45,000 for a Kiddush cup. And I found something to buy. What do you do with it? Put it on the thing. What does it look like? Not particularly. Not bad. Right? You can get one for $150. It's nicer. But this wasn't in 1927. There was a Chevra Kedisha that put the names on it. Oh, yeah. So, was your grandfather in Chevra Kedisha? Probably not, if that's what you're buying. But okay. What? You found something to buy. But you finished with that too. Now what? The next thing, all right, so our first thing is things. But that ends. Everybody knows that Olamaz only has X amount to offer. Right? They multiply as they divide it, they put on new, it ends, that's it. Yeah? Most people are still running after those who got to that point that realize that there really isn't any more to buy. Okay? But they still think that their problem is because they're not that guy, but when I get there, I'm going to buy the car, X, Y, Z that I don't have, and that's what I'm missing, what he has, that's why he's happy and I'm not. Okay. But when they get there, they find out that I got that, and I got that, and I got that, and I got that, and it doesn't move me still a minute to happiness. Nothing. Right. But if he's not so stupid to go running after Kiddush cups, $45,000 Kiddush cups and jewelry, right? He's finished with that. But that's not, nobody is. There's still very two very, very, very big things that you can buy. Very, very big things. You can buy power. Money. Power. That's one thing. And then there's another thing that people like to buy is color. Seems that COVID is cheaper than power. Because there's a lot of people who will be willing to take your money and give you COVID. Power that you have to take. But power and COVID, that's like endless. Right? Until I make it to be Alexander the Great, I still have where to go. So I become the president of the shul, and president of that, and the president of the next one. And then he calls me up and I tell him no, because I paid the bill. Doesn't matter what he asked. He's got to know that I paid the bills. I pay the bills, I make the decision. Me, he's got the money, he's got the power. I got the money, got the power. Right? Now I'm an important person. Now people, they think twice. Twice. The way they call me up, the way they don't call me up, the way they invite me to the singles and they don't invite me to the singles. Which Aliyah Shlishi they give me before him and after him and up and down there and where I sit and where I don't sit and what I do and what I don't do. And it's a good, fact. There are usually two ends to this story. Either you find yourself in a hospital and then in a grave. And that's not a happily ever after story. Then the whole thing blows up. Poof. Very, very. Very, very, very difficult process. The worst thing in the world is to be next to an Odom Hazanik when Odom Hazan blows up. The richer they are at the time that happens, the worse the explosion. Watch out. It's nice. It's not a good scene. No, it's not good. That's one way. The more common way, which usually very often brings on to the other way, is that there's a problem. that as big and rich and powerful and covered as I am, well, let's take Homan. He really made it to the top. Yeah. He was up there at the pinnacle. He had all the power, covered, everybody was bowing down to him. All the money. Yeah, he made it on all terms, right? One little old Mordechai didn't bow down. That's all. Poof, the whole thing goes bloomp, he comes home, says, I finished bankrupt, I have nothing. It's all worthless. He admits, there you go. Zeresh, Chachamim, we got a problem. What's it? I got kids, and I got money, and I got power, and I got COVID. I'm add up to zero. I'm a big Ephes. What happened? What's the matter? Stock crashed? No, can't be nothing. I buy the stock cracker back. Up the socks, down the socks. What's the problem? Mordechai doesn't bow down. That's a problem. Mordechai doesn't bow down. That's a problem. But you have power. You bought the nation. Go buy Mordechai. You go to the Melech, you put up a thing, and you know, string him up, and it'll be okay. Two steps. Step number one is, it's not always Mordechai. Sometimes it's the competition. Sometimes it's the guy next door. Sometimes it's, he didn't get reelected to be president of the show. These choloimais of power that you grab with money, of kovod, which is really the next part of the Mishnah, but you buy, buying COVID is like the most sickest, stupidest thing in the world. That is so ridiculous. That is so utterly foolish. And the worst part of it is so utterly disrespectful. How can a person get up at one of these dinners? Everybody clap, I gave $100,000. Of course, I told you, great, everything, right? That's what's up. But what are you doing here? Right? You're going in public in meeting, right? That you give $100,000 not because that you believe in the organization, I'm not even sure what the organization is called, but that we should all sit and clap. You're good. You are a public fool.
You forgot about the plan.
The plan? I told you that story. I was in Shiva.
He's doing
18 years old.
Too.
I was walking out of the dormitory. And there's a fellow didn't look really part of the normal scene over there. And just looking, I'm walking past, and that one goes by. I was the corpsman, he stopped me. excuse me, yes sir. Do you know, I don't remember the name anymore, Sam Jones, whatever it was. So I don't remember any Bachman by that name. Yes, he is. It's boiling up. I go by, stood behind the chair. It still looked interesting. I wanted to see what's going on. I wanted to see this. The next bocha comes down. I looked. I don't know exactly how he chose who he stops, but every third, fourth bocha. Do you know? It didn't seem like anybody knew. What's going on? You know that name does sound familiar from somewhere. I heard it somewhere. Who is he? I went into the back into the PMIA. Big plaque, I think it was 3.5 feet by 4.5 feet, right? This floor of the dormitory was given by... That's it. I went back out. I thought it was him. It wasn't. It was his uncle. But anyway, I went over to him and I said, you don't know how thankful we are. And you know, every day we walk by that plaque and we say, wow, what an important person, what a chelek tov he had. And it's beaming. And I told him, you know, that really it's very hot in the dormitory, and if it's your dormitory, you really should put in air conditioning. Somehow, no air conditioning. But I understand that they give someone on this. What? Money, power, covet. Money ends because there's nothing more to do. power ends covered either hospital driveway or because there are needles that pop these balloons. Usually, it comes in the form of somebody who's out to love you, thinks he's out there. Okay. You've been at it for 50 years and this little 30-year-old comes in and he's making more than you. Right? And he gets elected president of the show. It's over. Like, you know, the whole thing, crash, bang, it's over. It's over. The whole thing breaks apart. What do you do then? What do you do then? Psukim, Mefurish, and Kohelis say that a person that tries to go the Chap Osher rate must end in a tragedy. Must end in a tragedy. Any, especially in Osher. If you're out to make Tachlis Ogamazir and your means is money, it's going to end in a tragedy.
If you succeed, you
don't
succeed, you got a chance because
you
strive, but you get it.
And then you're in bad trouble. Then you're in trouble. All right. So here's the formula. Until you succeed, you're a slave to your ideal. People work terribly hard. They sacrifice their pleasures. They sacrifice their family life. They sacrifice their money. To get to the next stage, right? So until you get there, you're a slave. Once you get there, you're a failure. You're muamad la tragedy. And it will almost always happen. There are a few exceptions of the people that are zoicha to be be'emis naisin tztoka, and the schusat tztoka is making on them that they don't necessarily end up as tragedies. But very rarely do they go out of the immediate family life without a tragedy. I don't run around those circles. I don't know of very many Ashirin. I've met people on occasion. But from what I had, mostly secondhand information, almost all Ashirim have gone this route, the bad route. Usually ends up in serious tragedy and possibly Psusat stuck with their nitzel from the harder way. But
you're dying in the end.
Besides the dying in the end, they suffer plenty until they get there. So there's a problem here. There's a problem. So they call it the rat race. But the people who go on the other way say, well, the problem with the rat race is only the little guys that are being used by the rat race. But the guys who are using the rats in the race, right, they're not in the rat race. But then you find out that the cats are in the cat race. And the rats are the cat. But it doesn't get you anywhere. It just hires the stakes. And the falling, when you fall hard. When Olam Hazeh burns out, you get to the end of the road, the tiskul, the aggravation of the years of effort put in to attain something that doesn't exist, burns. It's a fire. There are yechidim. There are zoicha that fire is entire them. And then they use the remaining years to do good with the money that they have. There are yechidim like that. These are really, really big balut stuff. There are yechidim that they wake up one day and they say, you know, the grave will end. And the Olam Hazeh has nothing more to offer. And all they have is just no tachlis. So then they wake up and then they can do tremendous, wonderful things with the money that they have. But that's an extremely difficult nesayin. Nesayin of Ashiras is extremely difficult. So it's much, much more common that run the rat race, but the rats run on 4 feet. Right? And the higher people, they run in jet planes. they run faster and harder and quicker when they run into the wall, right? It's a harder concussion. The wall is the wall of Mitzvahs. The Mitzvahs that Olam Hazeh is not a tachlis. It can't give it to you because it doesn't have it. Nobody can ever give what it doesn't have. Olam Hazeh has nothing in it to give fulfillment. There is no fulfillment to have in Olam Hazeh. It was never meant to be. There are things that make the route easier, more enjoyable, pleasurable. There's a beautiful sun outside, and there's beautiful flowers, and there's tasty food, and there's all kinds of nice things in the world. The world doesn't have to be a bad place. You don't have to suffer. But fulfillment, tachlis, doesn't have it. It doesn't exist. Until you're running after it to try to get the tachlis, you're an enslaved. When you get it, you'll realize by absolute requirement, no chance involved. When you attain whatever is supposed to be success, say, and now I got to the final door, and I open up, and go. Here, made it. Go. One little Mordechai can stand and show you. It's just a way of bringing it out. That's how Homan got the message. That he thought he got everything, and he really didn't get anything. He missed the whole show. What? Yes. So the Mishnah is desperately pleading with us. Desperately. Listen, there is another way. There is another way. You don't have to go down that path. There is another way. There are conditions. There are conditions. If you're looking for how to be a successful Rockefeller, if that's what you're looking for, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That's not the mission. If you want to be a successful Olam Hazeh, in real terms, then I can tell you how to do it. You want to be a Shvechel Olam Hazeh? I know how to do that. You want to have it good? You want to have it good? Yeah, I got the formula for that. But you're gonna have to change the basic formulas. You have to join the Rebbeinu Shlom in his world. Or another way of saying that is, you're gonna have to start dealing with reality. And reality is not as you pictured it. The Olam Hazeh is a tachlis. It was never intended to be. It doesn't have in it anything to offer in terms of tachlis. It is only and solely a means. And it's only a solely a means for the real tachlis of Olam Haba. And the only way to enjoy the process is to use it as a process. You want to have it good in this world? No problem. The Bunshin didn't say you have to have it bad in this world. That we explained already several times. All the bad that we sometimes have to suffer in the world is only because of chet. But Be'etzem, the Rebbeinu wants to have it good in this world and the next world. But that's the way the real world is. You're going to have to do it that way. What do we do? Stop here? Stop here.
I have tapes.
Stop here. All right, so let's just sum up. So we'll know, so you'll be able to remind me next week where we're starting from.
The bad guy.
We got the bad guy. We know him. He's got an American flag and blue. And we know him. He's called Uncle Sam, right? He's world enemy number one. He's in the process of blowing up the world. Yeah, very, very close to succeeding. There was a... 40 years the world lived in fear that the world's going to end by blowing up by an atom bomb. That was all a means of fog. It was what they call
camouflage.
That was the real fear. Everything that's happened in the world is because the Americans know that there can be a stock crash. It could be an international stock crash. Not just a stock crash. there could be an international breakdown of the whole system. I once spoke to a fellow, very intelligent, explaining how it could happen in 10 minutes. Makes a lot of sense. I don't know if it could happen or not, but maybe it'd take 20 minutes. But it's really, you know, the whole thing is a very big, big hot air balloon. And just as the same thing happened by individuals, the whole world is at the point where they've bought everything there is to buy. And you have all the power that money can buy. And theoretically, they should have all of the covered that being the one country that's a superpower exists should have. And it's not working. It's not working. They're going downhill. The covered, you know, D blank blank Americans has been going on for a long time. Power. I'm not sure who lost more power in the last 2 years, Russia or America. Yeah. And having everything that money can buy, that's also not working anymore. But that's nothing. Wait till the whole thing pops. How long would it take? How close are we? Take out your papers. You probably all know the story better. Okay. The 19, what was it, 42? What was the stock crash? What? What?
27.
What? The stock crash. In America? It's 29.
Yeah, that was just like, you know.
That can't happen again.
That can't happen again? That won't happen again. Something much, much bigger will happen.
Yeah. So we're short all the stocks.
What?
We're short all the stocks. Make a kill.
No, there'll be a point. Point the probability, and it's only a guess. But the way the system's going, there'll probably be that there'll be a money crash. Which means that money will be worthless. That's going to happen in 10 minutes. And everybody's going to have money in the bank. It's going to wake up in the morning that they have pieces of paper. Which you can't get out because you have to pay somebody money to take them out and you don't have what to pay them with. Because you can't pay with money, it's worthless. It happened in 10 minutes. All financial system power. If you want to buy milk, you better bring in something to barter with. That's going to be a problem how the milk is going to get to the store. Because the person is going to, he's not going to give you the milk for nothing. But dollars? I don't take dollars anymore. So then I don't know if there's going to be milk in the store. Well, then you better get a cow. Where are you going to get a cow? You can go on. Right, so just remember, that's what we're holding.
By the cow.
By the cow. Exactly.
Before the
moment. Before, right, by the cow.
Before the moment.
But can you see, if you take the same thing that happened, we heard the micro we heard, Claire? You hear it by the macro, right? We'll talk about it more next week, but just think about it for a week. That's time, I like to talk, but okay. Yeah. True, but take out the paper, look, you know. It makes more sense than a lot of other things that people say. What are the probabilities of it happening? I don't know if it's going to happen. But we have to be aware of the possibilities of the dangers that we live in. Probably it would kill more people than an antibody. And probably quicker. Just the heart attack settled. It could happen. This thing should happen. The closer that we get to the end, the more of the myths of the world blow up. The closer you get to the end, the more the inner myths blow up. Ezuhu Sameach B'Chelek Osher is not an American Kiddush. It's been around a long, long time, back from Homan's days and earlier. Right? But it's the American Kiddush is making it a world philosophy. It's taking it and putting it on the center stage. First there were the Greeks, and they went, and the Romans, and then they went, and then the Christians. And now that's what's on the table. Well, that's what's going to blow up next. That's the next falsehood. That's the statue. That's the avodah zarah, which is going to self-destruct and show that it doesn't have within it that it presented itself. It's not worth bowing down to, because it's not. It doesn't work. The closer we get to the end, the more inner things blow up. When money blows up, then we're getting very close to the end. Very, very close to the end. I'm not sure if that might be the end. I don't know if there's anything after that. There could be, there is. I could think of something after that too. But that's where we're holding right now. That's the stage of life. On our personal lives, and as understanding of what the...
I heard somebody say the biggest lie now going in America by the liberals is that the financial condition of people is what determines their moral behavior. Like the reason blacks are not good, the reason blacks create crimes is because they don't have money. So it works in reverse too. You know, they become a religious type of thing where no money, you're not even worthy of being a person, and you deserve to create crime. So it's pretty rich and poor, this concept of money being the essence.
That's what the rich say. What do the poor say?
Well, it used to be that people said you're not behaving properly. Something wrong with your moral thinking, not that. Kill people because you don't have money doesn't mean, maybe you steal something, but you don't kill somebody if you don't have money. It's a non sequitur.
What do the poor people say?
You do now. I just.
Yeah,
just
the way the poor people.
They agree. They say, well, we can't help it. We're being deprived. The blacks in America, actually, they get criticized by other blacks if they succeed. There's this whole thing in schools, if somebody does really well, they're called a whitey. I mean, Jesse Jackson, this whole thing is, you know, you better stay where you are, you're getting free things, you know, liberals are feeling guilty, and as long as you keep, you know, feeding off the guilt of the whites, you're going to be bringing in the funds, and they'll get these special things, and creating crimes. And the big thing in America is people are getting off on these escape. The criminal's now the victim. I don't know if you've heard of this Melendez trial. They killed their parents. They got off. One after another in California states. And the reason they got off is because they had moments of insanity. Moments of insanity. And this is like the whole thing now. They weren't thinking straight for a few minutes. They just lost it. And then they shot at them. And one after another now, these criminals are getting off as victims. And it's a...
You mean like Asha? Huh? Like Asha.
Yeah.
Exactly. Somebody told me a news line about two criminals who just got off. Also, they, apparently they bought some cocaine together. One spent $10 and one spent $8. They got the cocaine together, and then they didn't know how to split it up. They didn't know the mathematics. They didn't know about the 8/18s and the 10/18s. So they got off. They killed each other over it, over the buck, the dollar difference. So, but that kind of chachba, what do you expect?